The rest of you, if you will, open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11. And as we've already said, congratulations to the six seniors. This week marks a turning point, turning the page. No longer will you be high school students, but you will be high school graduates. You've accomplished one of the goals that your parents set for you way back a long time ago. You know, back when your goals were a lot different. I was telling the first service this morning, when I was about second or third grade, people asked me, what do you want to do? Here's seriously my answer. I want to ride that trash truck around. That is the coolest job in the world. They get to hang off the back of that thing, jump down, throw stuff in, and then this big crank arm comes down and just swallows everything. I mean, I can remember getting on my bike, and I would follow that thing for blocks. I was fascinated by that job of trash truck. Some of you maybe wanted to be Cinderella. Maybe you wanted to be Spider-Man or something like that. But since that day, you've come a long way. You've come to the point in life now where you're getting to make more and more choices. Some good, some bad. And maybe today, when you think about it, your dreams are a lot different now than they were 12 or 15 years ago. And it made me think about this. You're growing up, but I hope everyone here today is growing up. Because you see, at some point, we're called to continue to grow all of our life. As the years pass by, the decisions that we make should lead us further down the road towards God's will for our life, rather than my way, or selfishness, or pride. When we stop growing, usually it's because we've become selfish or prideful. God calls us to grow till the day He calls us home in relationship to His purpose and plan for our life. This morning I want to talk to you about a guy who had choices to make and a guy who grew. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, every person, every individual, many times in life comes to a crucial fork in the road, a time when a decision has to be made. And you can look at a lot of those times in your life when one road seems broad, one road is wide, one road is attractive, one road is well-traveled, and the other road maybe not so much. Maybe it's more narrow, more rugged, more unpopular, more lonely. But the choice that you make in those moments will eventually lead you to other choices down the line. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Moses and his decisions. Moses came to that first major fork in the road because, you see, Moses had become great. The people in Egypt knew who Moses was. Moses was a man that when his name was called, everybody, oh, I know who you're talking about. But he was forced to make a choice. He had to decide whether he would allow the Egyptians to call him Pharaoh-elect or he would go a different path. Hebrews 11:25 says he made a choice. The word translated choosing comes from the Greek word, means to take for oneself a position. Moses came to that fork in the road and he had to take a position in his life on what his priorities were going to be. What's important to me? Moses had to make the decision, the priority principles of his life. You know, part of the reason that we often fail to make the right choices in our life is because we truthfully haven't decided where we want to stand on matters of character, morality, values, or godliness. Sometimes we don't have priorities, we have preferences. If things are all equal, I'll prefer to do this. But sometimes when life gets hard, we let those priorities go. And we teeter and we drift and we make a choice, sometimes based on feelings, only to regret it later. Moses wasn't a man like that. Moses was a man who knew that he had come, he had to choose a position. Do I want to be great in the eyes of Egypt, or do I want to be great in the eyes of God? You know, Joshua, when you think about Moses, Moses was surrounded. One of the guys who surrounded him was a guy by the name of Joshua. We still quote Joshua today on a guy who took a position, a priorities in his life. He probably learned those traits from Moses. He stood before the elders of Israel and he challenged them to make up their minds about the most crucial this issue and decision of their life. And he said this, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites where you are living. But as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord." We still remember that today. That was Joshua, Moses' successor, who probably learned that from Moses, said, "Hey, you got to make a choice." Elijah, standing on the peak of Mount Carmel, said a similar thing. He said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But choose right now." Moses didn't waver between two opinions. It says here, he chose rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than the passing pleasures of sin. Life is full of choices. Up to this point in your life, your parents have probably made most of your choices. If you're a graduating senior here today, for most of your life, your parents have been able to make those choices. You'll soon be making the biggest ones of your life, and it'll be your call. Where will you go to school? Where will you go to work? Who will you marry? Will you have children? Where will you live? And you know, your parents, it's hard on your parents too, because your parents want to still be there for you, but at the same time, they know you've got to make those choices yourself. I told the first service this morning, I think one of the hardest days of my life, even when you know it's coming, was when we drove Shannon out to school 4 hours from here and dropped her off and said, "Do good," basically. Because it's up to you now. All these years, you know, as parents, if our kids don't do what we want them to do, we discipline them. We keep them in line. We hold their feet to the fire. Those days were gone. Then it becomes up to you. In verse 26, the scripture uses the word considering to help us understand Moses' rationale. That term, considering, means to think beforehand. Moses saw ahead and realized, if I continue to be Pharaoh elect, if I continue to gain the acclaim of people, and I find myself in a high position in Egypt, then I may be at a point in my life where I can't turn back without damage to my nation, or most importantly, to my soul. Moses had to make a choice. This is what I believe. This is what I will do. And here's what he said. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. That text suggests Moses looked away from everything else and he fixed his full attention on one thing. The reward that God offers to people of faith. The reward God offers to people of faith. Moses says, "That's going to be my priority, is the reward of God." You know, when life gets hard, sometimes that has to be our priority. We may not know where we're headed. We may not know why we have to go through the bumps and the difficult times in the road. But you know what? We know this. God rewards those who are faithful. And we stay on that path. The reason there's no Sphinx in Egypt bearing the image of Moses is he made the choice to follow God. Moses was in a position. He could have built statues to himself. But that wasn't his priority. He may be forgotten in Egypt, but let me tell you, he's honored in heaven. When we get to heaven, one of those people we're going to want to see first is Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something else. When we get to heaven, one of the people that we're going to want to see is this guy named Moses. In Exodus 3, if you want to flip over there, we gain some understanding of what happened in Moses' life when it came to the choices. We said, you know, one fork in the road leads to other forks in the road. Well, Moses was at a fork in the road where he said, do I want to be Pharaoh elect or do I want to follow God? And he chose to follow God. Now, years later, 40 years later, 40 years later, he's now 80 years old. He's been a shepherd for a lot of these years. Moses comes to another major fork in the road. A bush. A bush burning. One of millions of bushes. And it wasn't a big bush. It was a scrub brush bush. In Midian caught his eye. The thing about this bush was it burned. And it burned. And it should have burned up, but it continued to burn. It kept blazing without dying down. God used an extraordinary event to get Moses' attention. And as Moses made his way to that bush, God met him there. And God said, Moses, I've got plans for you. Moses makes God aware of his knowledge. We see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, look at this. As God speaks to Moses, he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Verse 7 also says, I've given heed to their cry. Verse 7, I'm aware of their suffering. And verse 8 says, I have come down to deliver. So God tells Moses, I have seen, I have given heed, I'm aware, and now I've come. The years of preparation were complete. God was ready for Moses to step on and take the next step of faith in his life. You know what? God was saying, I want to use you, Moses. Just like this bush burned, stand still, and I will set you on fire for me. God used an ordinary bush to call Moses. God uses ordinary people that he sets on fire to change the world. People who have a heart and a passion and a desire to be all that God wants them to be. The question is, when God calls you, when God calls you young person, when God calls you senior adult, when God calls you, how will you respond? You know, the scripture says a couple of things when it's regarding the people of God. One, the people of God are sometimes called sheep. We like that picture because sheep, shepherd, man, that just seems like the sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd loves the sheep. But the Bible also refers to God's people sometimes as something lesser than sheep. Sometimes he refers to them as mules. Psalm 32:9, do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Don't be stubborn when God speaks. I think the point that we see in Moses, when God was speaking to Moses, Moses had a little uncertainty in his heart. But I want you to understand this. God doesn't speak to us to ask our advice. God has never spoken to me one time in my life and said, Gary, what do you think about this? Has God ever spoken to any of you like that? God doesn't speak to us to ask our opinion. God speaks to us regarding his plan. God makes declarations about our life. To Moses, God said in verse 10 of chapter 3, I will send you and you will bring my people out. God said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I will send you and you will bring them out. When God has a plan for your life, he's going to show you what he wants you to do. And then you're going to get the opportunity to say, yes, Lord. That's what he told Moses to do. But guess what? Moses didn't want any part of it. Moses was a little muley. Moses thought God wanted him to be the deliverer. But that's not what God told him to do. God himself would be the deliverer. In your life, God simply wants you to be his instrument of action. Wherever you go, today as you get ready to make your plans to go off to college, wherever you go, as you make plans to go off to work, wherever you go, wherever God leads you in your life, he is not calling you to win the world. But he is calling you to give yourself completely to him as his tool. God doesn't want you to win the world. Let me tell you, you can't win the world. But God can use you to do awesome things. Moses didn't get that. Moses was scared. His first question he asked first, who am I? Moses, Moses had been out to pasture for 40 years. He'd seen how huge the task was. No one knew how difficult it would be to go back to Egypt and do what God was asking him to do than Moses. He'd seen Egypt from the inside. But he forgot this important verse. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is looking for young people, for middle-aged people, for older people whose heart is completely his. His eyes roam the planet to find these individuals whose heart are right for a particular task which God will choose. This morning, you may not know where you fit, but God knows. You may not understand your purpose in life, but God does. Moses didn't view himself like God did. Instead, he gave God a bunch of lame excuses. Let's look at some of the excuses that Moses came up with. Excuse number one, look at verse 13 of chapter 3. God, I don't have all the answers. They're going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. Excuse number one. Excuse number two, look at chapter 4, verse 1. They'll make fun of me. I'll look stupid when they laugh me off. I'll go in there and say, hey, let my people go, and they'll laugh at me. Moses by now is in full mule mode. Excuse number three, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I'm not a very good speaker. God said, I'll give you the words you need. And finally, excuse number four, found in Exodus 4, 13. I'm not qualified. You know what Moses was basically saying? God, please, 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 please send somebody else. There has got to be somebody better than me. This morning, I want all of you to understand something. The kingdom of God is bigger than you. The kingdom of God is bigger than me. The kingdom of God is bigger than all of us. Way, way bigger. If we don't praise him, the scripture says the rocks will cry out in praise to him. But God chooses to use you and I. With all your imperfections, God still wants to use you. His call is clear and final. All he asks is for you to have a willing heart. He doesn't expect you to have all the answers. Moses was worried, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But you can have him. When we get to that point, God will do the rest. We may not have enough ability, but when we say, yes, Lord, God will take care of us. Flip real quick back to Exodus 3. Here's what God promised Moses. I'm going to go real quickly through this. Verse 10, chapter 3, I will send you to Pharaoh. Verse 12, chapter 3, I will be with you. Verse 17, I will bring you out of the affliction to a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 19, I know the king will not let you leave. He knew the trouble that was ahead. Verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles. Verse 21, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that when you go, you won't go empty-handed. Moses, you'll go carrying the riches of Egypt with you. And finally, in verse 22, you will plunder the Egyptians. You know what God said to him? I will take care of it. I will do it. I will bring you out. I know the king. I will stretch out my hand. I will grant this people favor. What God wanted Moses to do was just say, yes. God told Moses, I got this. Let me tell you something. You know what? Folks, God's got this. I don't know what troubles that you come to this service with this morning, but God's got this. I don't know what decisions that you've got to make that you don't know the answer to, but God's got this. Young people, as you sit on the brink of high school going to college, you don't know what's out there ahead of you. You don't know who your roommate is going to be a lot of the times, but God's got this. The question today that we must answer, will you choose to follow? Will you take a position so that you will stand when temptation comes? Moses chose to follow God rather than have the riches of Egypt. And then years later, after 40 years of preparation, Moses chose, although like a mule, to follow God back into Egypt. And the result of those choices is today we recognize Moses as one of the greatest men who ever walked the face of the earth. A man that God used to do incredible things. A man that when the armies of Egypt pursued him and they had no place else to go, trusted God, and God opened the sea, brought them through on dry land, and then drowned the army that was following him. You know, God is preparing you for the next step, whatever that next step is. Will you choose to follow him? Will you choose to trust him? Here's how you trust him. Number one, if you're here today and you've never made Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never made that commitment, that's where it all starts. You can't make any other commitment until you've made the commitment of trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Asking him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins. Let me tell you something. It may sound harsh, but it's true. God won't hear your prayer until you pray to make him Lord of your life. Have you made Christ Lord of your life? If you're here this morning, you need to do that. That's a choice you need to make this morning. Maybe you're here today and there's things that are weighing you down. You don't know what direction in life, maybe what God's plan or purpose for you is. Let me just encourage you to trust him. Trust him. He'll bring you through. God never fails. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The challenge may seem great. With God's help, we are all more than conquerors. Pray together. Lord, this morning I pray that as you speak to our hearts about decisions that maybe we need to make, Lord, I thank you for how you work in our life, how you show yourself to us in so many ways, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through other believers. And Lord, if you've been speaking to some folks here today about decisions that need to be made, I just pray, God, that today might be the day that it is made. If there's anyone here who needs to trust you as Lord and Savior to make you Lord of their life, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out. And just as Moses had to have courage to make the decision he did, because, Lord, we look forward to the rewards of faith. There may be someone here today who just needs to claim that, make that decision, looking forward to the rewards of faith. Lord, as we stand, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts and we would be obedient and follow. In Christ's name we pray.